Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Moline. Each year, roughly 28,000 people are released from prisons in Illinois. A recent report from the Illinois Justice Project and Metropolitan Planning Council found that many of those people lack the housing and support they need to successfully reintegrate into society. There's a new home in Champaign that will provide housing and support services, like help finding a job and health care, to four formerly incarcerated men. The home is owned by the Housing Authority of Champaign County, and it's operated by a group called First Followers, which offers support to formerly incarcerated people in the community. Illinois Public Media's Lee Gaines spoke with Marlon Mitchell, co-founder of First Followers, and also Tamika Davis-Nunez, who is a community outreach specialist and peer mentor with First Followers. They were joined by Jennifer Volan-Katz, executive director of the John Howard Association and Illinois Prison Watchdog Organization. Lee started by asking Marlon about the First Steps House.
So, Marlon, I want to start with you. Can you tell me about the First Steps Community House? Where is the house? How big is it? Who lives there?
We opened the doors of First Step in 2019 of December. And essentially what it is a five-bedroom home where we're allocating four bedrooms for individuals that are returning from incarceration, the Illinois Department of Corrections. We're going to have a case manager or overnight supervisor that lives in the house as well. And one of the things that we do is we provide individualized plans for individuals who are looking to just, you know, get their feet up under them and kind of check the boxes into what the next steps and stages of their life should be.
So it sounds like the people that are living there are getting more than just a roof over their heads, correct? Are they getting help with stuff like finding a job?
Correct. So there's a lot of programming that goes into it. We help with the employment search. We have currently two individuals who have that are currently living in the space, and each one of them are employed.
Wow.
Yes, and we, our case managers, have been great in helping facilitate that transition. And then we also provide, we help them find the resources to social service agencies that they might need, and then any kind of mandates that they have from their parole, we help with that transition period as well.
And I'm curious, where did the idea for this house to create this in the community, like where did that come from? And also, how long did it take to get off the ground?
So the idea came from a needs-based assessment that we did back in 2016 as an organization. One of the things we wanted to understand as First Followers was how well is the local government providing resources for individuals returning from incarceration. So out of that research in 2016, we were able to, one of the things that came out of that surfaced was the need for housing. Even at our drop-in center, we were seeing individuals just kind of come in looking for the housing resources. And we all know that there's a stigma that comes along with that, and especially if you have a felony conviction and you're fresh out of IDOC, that can be a very daunting task of trying to find employment, trying to find stable housing, and, you know, just trying to stabilize a person trying to stabilize themselves.
And so I understand that the house is owned by the Housing Authority of Champaign County, and it's operated by First Followers. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And so I think a question listeners might have is who's paying for this? Who's paying to run the house? How is it funded?
So there's a shared cost. Essentially, First Followers is responsible for all the operations. And that means paying for the staff that helps run the house. And there's no rent attached to it because the Housing Authority has waived the rent. Any major maintenance is absorbed by the Housing Authority. So essentially what we do, we just pay for the day-to-day operations. And for the first year since we just opened in 2019, we've been able to raise enough money, whereas we can run it for at least 1 year.
And Tamika, I understand, you know, that you are helping out with this house, correct? Or helping the individuals that currently live there?
Yes.
And you are also formerly incarcerated yourself?
Yes.
And so can you tell me a little bit about what happened to you? When were you released from prison, and what was that experience like for you?
Well, I went to prison January 7th of 2000. I came home April 29th of 2008. They sent me to a halfway house that used to be in Champaign County called the Perry Center. And so when I went to the Perry Center, I was thinking that these people were going to help me find employment and different things. They just told me that the library was down the street. Go down to the library. I'm like, oh, OK, okay, can you give me the street name? You know, because I was away for so long that I didn't know where anything was at. Like, it didn't dawn on me where nothing was at, right? So the experience for me was horrible because I had no help. I had nobody to help me. It was a lady at the library that did show me how to get on the computers, but I wasn't familiar with all the applications were coming on to the computer then. So
things that I think a lot of us take for granted, if you've been away for a long time, if you've been in prison for a long time, they're completely unknowable. They're unrecognizable to you.
Yes, very much so.
So I'm wondering how the experience or what the services provided in First Steps, how does that compare to what you received?
It's like amazing, right? Because like it's really no comparison because I had no help. But First Steps, what we do is we help them. We show them the way. We get them acclimated back into the community. We like if you need to go to somewhere, like say that they need to go get an ID. And it's steps to take to go get an ID. So you need your birth certificate. Okay, we take you to do that. So transportation is given. And then not only is transportation given, then, you know, like we kind of like sit down. We make them welcome. We make them feel comfortable back into the community instead of feeling so tense and feel like you're not going to make it, right? So, and it's always people that's going to always encourage and always be there. Even at a dark time, if you going through something, you able to pick up the phone and call whichever mentor that's available.
Thank you for that, Tamika. Jenny, I'm curious, what can you tell us generally about the people who are leaving Illinois Department of Corrections every year? We know that there's about 28,000 people who leave IDOC custody every year. What kind of supports, if anything, are they given in terms of finding housing as they walk out of those prison gates?
Very little is the short answer. I think the number last year was a little bit lower, which would make sense because our entrances have been down, entrances into prison the last couple of years. I think it's closer to somewhere between 23 and 25,000 people exited the Illinois Department of Corrections last year. Most people who are leaving the Illinois Department of Corrections are not given direct aid when they are walking out the door. So they don't have help finding a place to live. They aren't getting any subsidized help for transportation, for housing, for anything like that. They've really got to figure out on their own, sort of how to get all the basics one needs to live together. And that can be a very daunting task, as was just pointed out. And over the years, we've actually lost housing that used to be available to people leaving prisons in Illinois. You know, there used to be far more available housing through halfway houses, through subsidized housing opportunities for people leaving incarceration, and adult transition centers run by the Illinois Department of Corrections in conjunction with other reentry providers, all of which provided, you know, a lot of the same services and structure that the people we're talking to right now are providing. That's so important. I mean, First Followers is going about this in a way that is so sensible and so helpful. People leaving prison need help finding a place to live and then transitioning into a situation where they can pay for housing, where they get a job, where they have all the things they need to sustain themselves. And to think that people are going to walk out of prison gates and be able to do that immediately, you know, when they haven't necessarily been given an opportunity to increase their education or gain job skills, or even necessarily create a resume, let alone learn new technological skills that might help them in the workforce. We really have a disconnect between expectations and ability for people to meet them without providing those kinds of opportunities and supports.
Jenny, I'm curious why all of that supportive housing disappeared. Is it because the way that we treat people who are incarcerated changed? Is it because of the era of tough on crime that resources were diverted away from that kind of reentry support?
Yeah, I mean, it's really part of the larger picture of mass incarceration, which was, you know, ideology and policies that were much more focused on punishment and far less on rehabilitation, and the thinking that money was best spent incapacitating people without ever thinking about the impact that would have not only on those individuals, but frankly, on all of us over time.
And Marlon, Jenny mentioned halfway houses, but it sounds like what First Steps Community House is much different or much more than a halfway house.
One of the things, the way we looked at it, because our program is run by individuals who have been formerly incarcerated, they have a lot of insight on what it really and actually should look like versus some models that use just providing a roof over your head. And at the end of the day, you find your own job, you find your own resources, and you have a curfew and you're back, you know, you're back into that space. I mean, the way that we looked at it, we wanted to make sure that, first of all, it was going to be inviting. And then second of all, we wanted to make sure that we were going to be able to build relationships with the individuals returning home. Tamika spoke about it and what she just said about how oftentimes, yeah, we'll give you a roof over your head, but at the end of the day, what does that look like? And how does that translate into me actually getting myself acclimated back into the community where I'm comfortable, where I'm starting to sustain myself? So those are two separate looking, they look totally different, right? And so, yes, we found in our research, because before we opened our halfway house, or our transitional house, I should say, before we even did any of that, we did research. And we relied on different models, we researched different models, and then we also visited different programs just to see how people were doing it. So there was an education surrounded by lived experiences that really helped us mold First Steps into what it is.
And not only that, one thing I didn't hit on is, like, even when you go to the halfway house, like, so you are, like, basically still in prison, basically. So you are given time to go out to find a job, but then you have to come back in. Like Marlon just said, you know, you got a curfew. Not only with that curfew comes a 25% of your income, right? So, like, once you even get a job, you have to pay them out of your check 25%. And so you still feel like you're still locked down because it's still things that's holding you back, right? So mm-hmm. if you don't have a job, you can only go out to job search from one part of the morning to the next, and then one part of the evening to the next, and then you back in that space. But with the First Steps, it's not like that. Mm. Like, we help. Like, if you need your resume done, we help with that. Because a lot of people don't even understand, like, when you sweep the floor, you're a janitor. If you wipe a window, you're a window wiper. If you wash dishes, you're a dishwasher, right? So a lot of people can take those skills that they come from out of prison and put them on a resume to get get employment, right?
So, yeah, helping people understand what benefits or what assets they might be bringing to
yes.
an employer. Thank you for that, Tamika. Jenny, this sounds like, you know, we've heard a solution here, an example of a solution, but the First Steps Community House only has the capacity to serve 4 people at any given time. I'm curious what other solutions are out there, or what experts are advocating for.
Yeah. So first of all, kudos to First Steps. I think what you guys are doing is fantastic. And I would say, you know, if you were going to ask me about what should they be doing differently, the only thing I was going to say is more, more, more. You know, they are providing the kind of holistic wraparound services that people need in order to really get their lives back on track and be successful. And what we see too often is with this kind of holistic programming, with these really thoughtfully constructed opportunities for support, the only problem is there simply aren't enough of them. There's not enough spots for the people that need them. And so that's really, I think, where the pressure needs to be on policymakers and state leaders, is to recognize the impact programs like this can have, and that the investment is worth it, because you are investing in people's long-term success so that they will not be returning to our prisons. And so I think that conversation is starting to happen. I don't think it's far enough along, quite frankly, but I do think there's some recognition that, you know, we need to meet people's immediate needs when they're leaving prison if we want them to be successful. I do think that conversation is starting. The solutions aren't there yet, and they're certainly not being invested in yet. And that's something that we need to happen, and we need it to happen quickly.
Tamika, I'm curious, you know, what does it mean for you personally now to be, you know, on the other side of your incarceration and to be helping someone who experienced what you experienced coming out of prison? What does that mean for you personally?
Personally, it's like really touching. It means a lot for me to help somebody get on their feet. My biggest thing is the kid part, like if, say if they have children, to try to help them get back in contact with their children, you know, because I didn't have none of that. So for me, the help that I have to a person is to give them my experience, what I went through, and how they can do it differently, and how we're going to help them differently, how we're going to push them to get to their goals, and to, for them to write a goal, and for them to set a goal and make it to where there is reachable, because I had none of that, right? So with that being said, I extend everything I have inside of me to help a person that wants to help themselves instead of going back into the prison system.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Tamika. That was Tamika Davis Nunez, who is a community outreach specialist and peer mentor with First Followers. I was also joined by Marlon Mitchell, co-founder of First Followers, and Jennifer Vollen-Katz, executive director of the John Howard Association. All of you, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Illinois Public Media's Lee Gaines speaking with some of the people behind the First Steps House in Champaign, which offers support to formerly incarcerated people. Coming up after the break, we'll speak with reporters of WBEZ's investigative podcast series, Motive. I'm Brian Moline. You're listening to The 21st. Stay tuned.